Jake, the boys are back. And this is kind of what you were talking about, right? I guess it didn't all hit the fan yesterday. We still had a shot. The Yankees win 3-1 after a nearly 2-hour rain delay. Jake was at this game. I'm sure you're probably ready for bed, Jake, but joining us, my guy. Totally understandable. And I'm kidding, of course, when I say the Yankees are back. Not yet. We walked into this series. I asked for 2 of 3. I had to see 2 of 3. If you lose the series, you guys can stick a fork and you will see in the wild card. Jake, you predicted a sweep. And then obviously that died. No one could have predicted. I guess someone could have. But Cam Schlittler wasn't good enough in game one. He was out of the game early. It was a stinker. And it's easy to get down after that game. I certainly, Jake, you had to talk me off a cliff. I was pissed off after that game one.
I tried.
And yeah. And in steps, Luis Gil. There were some people in our comments saying that they would pass him the ball in game three. We had our concerns. Control was the biggest one, easily, right? And was he going to be able to throw enough strikes in this game to avoid arms like Leiter Jr., Doval, Devin Williams? And crazy enough, he still walked 4 Blue Jays, and he still found a way to go 6 innings and avoid a loss. It was a huge performance from Luis Gil. He did a great job. And Toronto, and this is insane, you just don't see it in today's sport, they were putting the ball in play. Jake, you were talking about it pre-show. They struck out 5 times total today. Out of their 27 outs, they're just a contact-oriented team. It's a way to play the game, and a lot of times it works. Gil recorded just 1 strikeout, and he was still effective. So he clearly made the adjustment that Schlittler was unable to make in his 1 outing that we saw. So we ended up seeing Weaver, Cruz, Bednar to record the final 3 innings of that game. And the majority of us now feel like if the Yankees win this game on Sunday, they now have a real shot to win the division. Now, that's a huge if. And by the way, guys, if you're just joining us here at Yankees Unloaded, please be sure to subscribe and like this video. Liking the video does a ton for us. If you're with us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, drop us a 5-star review. Helps us out a lot. And if you're a Diamond Level member or you become one, you can drop us voicemails. That'll become available to you, and we read those at the end of the show. We really appreciate that. So our topics today, the Yankees offense, and if you missed this game, you need to wait for it. They scored 3 runs. They didn't hit a home run.
That's the first I've ever seen that.
Can you believe that? It's unbelievable. There was an Austin Wells sack fly. I loved it when I saw it. I almost jumped off my couch.
Same here.
Jason Dominguez single on, again, you guys would not believe this. I hope your dad watched this game, Jake.
Oh,
there was a hit and run, and we actually executed. We executed doing anything other than hitting a home run, and I like home runs. They're fun, but it can't be the only thing you did. They did that. It was awesome. And then this is not a typo. Austin Wells hit another sack fly. That was the offense. That's what winning close games does. And by the way, I saw some of you talking trash that you were going to see a black t-shirt today. Ha! Wrong.
Gary's.
Yeah, you stole my t-shirt.
I'm sorry.
I got dressed up today to go to the mall and get a pizza, and Jake went to the stadium. So, but we're going to talk about the offense in depth later. We're going to discuss the Luis Gil, Cam Schlittler contest. Who would you pass the ball to in a game 3? Obviously, marginal difference there in terms of experience. We'll discuss it. And of course, tomorrow's matchup, Blue Jays slid Max Scherzer a day. We noticed it yesterday. He's now going to go toe-to-toe with Max Fried. Fried dominated Boston August 22nd, Washington the 27th, and then at Houston, that series that everybody said was super important, he went 7 full of 1-run ball. So we'll talk about what we expect with the Jays putting the ball in play off an arm in Fried, who wants the ball put in play, Jake. But Jake, you were at this game. I'm not sure what you did during this rain delay. I have no idea. I've always been curious what the hell you do during a 2-hour rain delay. How are we feeling now that the Bombers finally, like literally for the first time ever, have thrown a punch back at the pesky Toronto Blue Jays?
Feeling great, man. You know, I think today was one of those days. I mean, it was a hot day. I'm going to start off by saying that it was hot. It was humid. It was sticky. It was a hot day, man. When you're running on 3 hours of sleep and then it's that hot, It's brutal, but hot day at the ballpark, and I just thought you got to give Luis Gil all the credit in the world. Yeah, he walked batters, but he kept this run. He kept one run on the board. That's it. And he gave him length, and honestly, I think he comes out for the next inning, at least to start, if they don't go into a rain delay. But you asked a question. What do they do? What do you do in a rain delay? Well, I'll tell you. So we were in the second deck, section 206, and we were in the fourth row. And after that happened, you know, and we could tell. You could just absolutely tell the excitement was palpable when, you know, Bellinger threw that guy out. It was insane. It was Bichette. Yep. Absolutely insane throw. I've still yet to see it on TV, like the what it looked like, but we were in right field. So watching him come up, you know, and throw that thing, I wanted to paint the picture in everyone's head. If you weren't at the game, you don't understand how heavy the rain was when he threw that. I've tried throwing in the rain before. It's not easy. And he just threw an absolute laser right on the money. Gary, it looked like he was giving up on the throw. Like when he threw it, it didn't even make sense. The ball was an absolute laser because it looked like he threw it on such a line. He was throwing it back to like first base. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's out by a mile, and everyone just went like freaking nuts.
The plays that have to happen, by the way. Anytime people talk about Cody Bellinger, there were some murmurs that he's our most valuable player on the roster. I think there's just no doubt.
Five-tool player.
He's a great glove. He gets great jumps. There was a play, I think yesterday, line drive out to left field, and Cody didn't get it. It was a shoestring play, and you're almost shocked that he doesn't make the... He doesn't wow you with the glove every single time he has an opportunity. And then also, by the way, he's going to hit 275 plus with pop, and he can put a ball in play when he has to. He does everything you want. And when you complain about the Yankees' offense and just how they're boom or bust, Cody Bellinger has nothing to do with that. He's a totally different build of a player. He actually reminds me a lot of just a more talented DJ LeMahieu. If people remember, I know it's kind of crazy to think about, but when DJ LeMahieu was
Austin
in his
Wells
prime,
repped his song today.
I heard about that.
I thought it was cool.
I saw that on Twitter just before we went live. It's actually pretty cool. And DJ LeMahieu actually in his prime was one of the more reliable players on the roster. He was the type of guy who can go the other way when you need it. He can get you a knock when he needs. He'll hit a clutch home run when you need it. We saw those in the Houston series. That's what Cody Bellinger is. How valuable is that to the Yankees? What does this Yankees team look like if he doesn't exist? And maybe it's Jason Dominguez who plays every day. What does it look like if a Spencer Jones is called up early and Cody Bellinger doesn't exist? How good is this baseball team? I'm here to tell you right now, Jake, as high as I am on Jones and even Jason Dominguez, like I really think they're some talented kids. We don't go very far without Cody Bellinger. All the defensive versatility, the base running, the power game, he does everything well. And for a team that has such a, and you see DC here saying Cody reminds me completely of Paul O'Neill. Jake, didn't your dad mention that?
He was exactly the first that one I ever heard. He's like, his swing is exactly like Paul O'Neill. It's like identical. I agree.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't unsee it. And then when Paul O'Neill is like doing analysis of like Bellinger, it's funny to me now because it's just like, how has he not said, wow, that looks like my swing? Like it looks exactly like his swing. So yeah, the thing here though, I think that play, and I told you off air, I felt before that play the Yankees were losing this game. It just felt like a loss. Okay, you're in control or whatever. No, you're losing this game. It just felt that way. When he threw him out, everyone in the entire ballpark was like, oh, okay, the Yankees are winning this game. The momentum was gone. All the momentum that the Blue Jays were building to take the lead, gone in an instant. And it goes to show you, okay, it's not football. Okay, it's not basketball. But baseball momentum is real.
Yep.
And, you know, we saw that. And I got to give a lot of credit to Cody Bellinger because it's not just him throwing that, which is not a guarantee.
No.
And in addition to that, he's throwing that. That is a ground ball. That goes into the outfield grass. That thing was soaked. That ball was absolutely soaked, and he threw that.
And we don't get to make any excuses.
Yeah.
The ball is soaking wet. You got to make the throw. Because if the guy's safe and you're like, well, the ball was wet, no one cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. There's no excuses. No one talks about the weather because you know what the coverage would be? Toronto played in the weather too. Bichette had to round third base and try and score in the rain, right? So
yeah.
Everyone has to deal with the elements. Who can respond the best? And I want to throw something up on the screen before we get to our supers. You guys have been awesome, so thank you for that. And Cheeky Monkey brings up, who's a member of ours. We really appreciate all of our members getting involved. Joey, we see you in the comments. Thank you. Cheeky says, am I the only one concerned that the Yankees, and this is coming from an Eagles fan, so I feel like I can dive into this, concerned that the Yankees are going to do some sort of Giants, Saquon Barkley type buffoonery? I think Belly wants to be a Yankee, but I think they will somehow mess this up. Okay, I want you guys to realize something. It wasn't the right move for the Giants to re-sign Saquon Barkley. There, I said it. There was no reason to do it. Why? Because they couldn't block. That's why. There's orders, there's a pecking order of things you have to do in order to have a high prize running back. And the first thing you need to do is be able to block. That's the main thing. So the Giants thought, well, we don't have a line. There's no purpose of having a Lamborghini back there to run the football if there's no holes. So what did they do? They obviously went high prize quarterback. They spent a ton of money elsewhere. And they're like, we need to reset stuff. They let him go, and the team who literally their final piece they needed was a running back. They had Hall of Famers on the line. It was a perfect fit. It made the Giants look bad. In this instant, Jake, Cody Bellinger is exactly what the Yankees need, exactly what they need to go where they're trying to go. If you want to be able to score runs without hitting the home run, you need Cody Bellinger. If you want to become more fundamental and do things the opposite of what you were doing against the Dodgers in the World Series, you need Cody Bellinger. He would have really helped in that series. If you want to run the bases better and have teams not be able to describe you as, oh, just put the ball in play and they'll make mistakes, Cody Bellinger would really help you on your roster. So, Cheeky, can they screw this up? Certainly it's possible. But I will tell you, there's no logical explanation. There's no way you can talk yourself into this being a mistake. Bringing back number 35. He's the most important player on the field for us right now. And when Aaron Judge is obviously firing on all cylinders, that conversation changes, but he's not right now. Cody Bellinger is that guy.
He absolutely is. I'll say something bold, but I think it's right. If you took Cody Bellinger and replaced Aaron Judge on that on the World Series roster, I think the Yankees win the World Series.
Probably.
I do. Judge, I mean, he had some big moments in the postseason, but they're moments. Like when you look at like Juan Soto and Stanton, it was like a constant. That's what you expected. With Bellinger, I just think that's, you know, and I hate saying that. I love Judge, but Bellinger is a guy that they've been missing for a while. And you know, I understand it's going to come off as like really disrespectful. It's not even meant to be that. It's just kind of to show you the gravity of the situation. Cody Bellinger is so important to this team. And I do think they would have won a World Series last year if they had it.
Aaron Judge was playing out of position. We covered that, right?
That was another thing, yes.
Him playing center field isn't helping. He's never been a good center fielder. And that wasn't our opinion. That's what the numbers say. And you saw that in the World Series. That's certainly part of the reason why he was making mistakes by sitting out in center field. He had to be out there because Juan Soto was in right field. He needed to be. They didn't want to put him in left field, and somehow, some way, they put Jason Dominguez in left field this year, but I'll digress on that. Aaron Judge was forced to play out of position. So having said that, you're getting Aaron Judge's defense in center field, and you also got a player who didn't perform well in October. Now, again, Cody Bellinger doesn't have the best October numbers, but he also has had a run where he was big time for the Dodgers. So I'm not going to sit up here and say, all right, if we had Cody Bellinger, we win the World Series last year. I don't know if I'll completely buy into that. But what I will tell you is everything the Yankees aren't, Cody Bellinger is. That's what's so valuable about him. And when you don't bring him back to this team, if that were to happen, to say, oh, yeah, we're going to get more fundamental, or what you guys saw last April where we were just making a ton of mistakes and we told you we'll fix them. If Cody Bellinger walks out the door, that player who made that throw today and all those plays he's made all year, we're talking bat aside, you're not even serious. You're genuinely not a serious organization. So I want this to be known as a positive statement about Cody Bellinger, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Cody Bellinger is the most positive thing that's happening for the Yankees. And it's so interesting because he was our second choice. As much as I personally have wanted him on this team for about 7-8 years now, I've literally been messaging him back and forth. When are you going to play for the Yankees? Oh, we'll see. Well, when are you going to play for the Yankees? Right? And you look up and down the roster and it's like, man, he excels at what we just suck at. We just refuse to run the bases. He can run them. We refuse to make throws to the bases correctly. He'll make it. And I just love watching him play baseball. So, yeah, I just think right now for the Yankees, this type of game that just so happened, Jake, you went to it. You said you loved not seeing home runs. That is wild thing. That's a wild thing to say. But considering you host this podcast, you know exactly the type of offense that everyone in our comment section watches as well. It's an offense trying to hit home runs, and if they fail, they lose every time. Well, they showed up to the yard on a Saturday when everyone was watching a day game, rain delay, all the excuses in the world to lose this game, and they found a way to win. They made the throws when they had to. They ran the bases when they had to. That's what contenders do. Now do it again tomorrow. That's the big test. Can you do it tomorrow? And I can guarantee you, there are going to be a lot of people in our comment section saying, now that they've won the series against Toronto, beat Houston, 1-2 of 3 in Houston, then they have a day off and they play Detroit. Now I think I can start to buy into what this team is doing, but not a second before that.
No, and I thought, you know, I also want to give a lot of credit. So Bellinger had 3 walks too. So, you know, great stuff there.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a lot of credit to Jason Dominguez. I thought his at-bats were stellar today. I really did. You know, we I don't know if we talked about it yet, but we talked about off-air about the hit and run as well. So, you know, that was cool. But with Jason Dominguez, you know, he's playing once a week now. So, like, he doesn't really play often, and he gets in there, and he only had 2 at-bats today. He had a hit, and he had a walk. 3 plate appearances, but like I was really impressed with just the approach that he had. And I will say I wanted to cover the Jazz Chisholm thing. I just don't get it, man. I love stolen bases. Mm-hmm. And Jazz is safe easily if that catcher throws a good ball. That's the irony of this, right? If the catcher throws a good ball right on the money to second base, Jazz is safe. He threw a bad, he had a bad throw where he actually pushed the guy covering completely off the base.
Apparently that's what they teach. I don't know if you heard this.
They teach that?
Yes, they teach it because what they realize is when you try to beat the runner to the bag, more times than not, even if you do, the runner is set up to get around the tag, underneath the tag. And what they found is that the runner really can't do anything. Once the ball's brought him up the line, you can get a tag to a cleat. I mean, you saw that with Cody Bellinger.
They talked about this on the broadcast, didn't they?
No. This is just something that I've known. And
oh, okay.
I've heard about it before, is that catchers are taught, I'm going to throw a ball that tails into the baseline. There's nothing you can do as a base runner. There's nothing. Because once the ball is caught, I can tag you right away. But normally you would think, oh, the best throw you can make is right on the bag, and then your hand's going to be right there. I'll tag it. Not necessarily. It's much quicker to get up the line and tag the runner. So that's what you saw. And yeah, that was the only throw that would have had him out. So I thought it was a nice throw, just me personally. And again, when it's taught, you might as well do it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I mean, of course, I was at the game, so I didn't, you know, hear the broadcast talk about it, but it looked like a bad throw. It just did.
Yeah.
And it worked because Jazz had the bag stolen, if, you know, it's thrown to your point. So, I get that. Grisham today didn't have it. You could just see. He just not really, you know, some really bad swings at some really bad pitches where he's ahead in the count, kind of, you know, basically gave you a little bit of a bailout on the other side. But
uncharacteristic, by the way.
Very uncharacteristic. Not going to get too much on him because, well, Trent Grisham's been sensational this year. But Anthony Volpe came up big, right? Ryan McMahon had an important walk. But yeah, Volpe's hit was big. And yeah, it was a fun game. It felt like a postseason game. I can say that because I've actually been at a postseason game. The Yankees... I'm going to look it up right now. 2022, October, Yankees, Guardians, game one. That was the one I was at. That was a 4-1 game. Yeah, it felt like that. It really felt like I was watching that game all over again. You had Gerrit Cole on the mound against Cal Quantrill. And that was a game where... you know, they really had to rely on just getting on base and putting the ball in play. I mean, IKF had a hit. That was the one. Do you remember when Josh Donaldson like thought that he hit a home run? So like he was jogging.
Yeah. You're talking about Oppo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sad that you even brought up that play. Totally forgot about it. I have no idea even in the moment how even ever you could think, oh, this ball is gone and I'm going to pimp it. You should be, given the context of what your season just was, you should be running like Usain Bolt down to first base. He didn't. Wild stuff. Just that game bizarre. Was insane. By the way, when you mentioned earlier Jason Dominguez, you talked about he's really a once-a-week player. Jason Dominguez, his role, here's actually what his role is. His role is to give Giancarlo Stanton a rest day if he had to be out in right field, or Aaron Judge, if he had to, essentially he's a reset day. And he's a really good player that you can plug in on that off day. They said pregame that Aaron Boone thought about playing Stanton today. He thought about putting him out in right field. They weren't thinking about putting Judge, who was just out there, back out in right field. So they were thinking about, and they said, if it wasn't for that Houston series, we would have put him back out in right field. So Jason Dominguez, quite literally, and I don't mean this by any disrespect, just based on what Aaron Boone said pregame, he's out there as a placeholder to reset physically with Giancarlo Stanton. And again, Giancarlo's played really good baseball this year. Judge, same thing. Obviously not up to his standards of late, but when you have those two names, they're going to take precedent, and that's what they're doing. So thought it was interesting. Joshua, thank you for the five. Really appreciate the super. Let's get it started. Joshua says five for today's win. Josh, we really appreciate that. Said, I saw Jake rooting for Volpe in McMahon today. LOL. Now, Joshua, was this on screen? I need to know the context.
I need to know too, because I saw this. I think you had commented on this, and I was like, huh? Was I on TV and I didn't know it? I mean, I don't remember... I was hyped when Volpe had the hit, but I trust me. I mean, but I'm also not rooting against Volpe. I'm not rooting against McMahon.
No, we just, if we were in charge and we were the GM.
Oh, he's just joking. Well, I mean.
Well, you were probably right. He most likely was rooting for him because why wouldn't he? It doesn't help our podcast. Doesn't help anyone here if they suck. Yeah. How does it help us if we lose? Yeah, you might get more views for a night. But is that really going to help you long term? No. We're sitting in a wild card and you have no shot of going deep into a postseason. None whatsoever. So, yeah, Joshua says, I enjoy the content as a new baseball fan. Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that. And obviously, thank you for being a member big time. And Apex with the two says, see what happens when you don't swing for Mars. We get Austin Wells, two sack flies. Didn't know this, but he actually leads the major leagues in sack flies. I don't even know what to make of that.
That's why his RBIs are so high.
I mean, yeah, but I tell you right now, gun to my head, I never would have guessed that. Never.
I got to be honest. I really like Austin Wells, and I hope he figures out this nerve damage in his hand, because I think next year will be fun to watch. And it goes back to what we were talking about. He's shown it. Others haven't. He's shown July and August. I mean, you do it 2 months. Lynn Sandy was only a month. 2 months? I don't know. I think that's who he is, or, you know, who he is capable of being. I don't know if that's who he is. but we'll find out. He's still young. I don't know. I like Austin Wells.
Yeah, and Apex says, be honest, if Judge was in right field today, we lose. John Schneider actually said post-game yesterday, he said, we had a pretty good indication that he didn't say just straight away that Aaron Judge was hurt, but that there were question marks about his health. And he actually gave credit to his third base coach of testing that arm. And obviously, he didn't pass that test. Now, what it'll look like tomorrow for Sunday, do we see Aaron Judge back on right field? My guess, it's just my guess, is we're going to get Giancarlo Stanton in right field tomorrow, and Judge is going to get DH'd again. That's my guess. Based on the way that throw looked, I don't know, Jake, how you feel about this, but
I'm not
considering
sure.
They put him, right? They put Judge out in right field for game one, and everyone's like, oh, okay, it's good enough for him to be out there. But then you saw Brian Hoke's report, and Aaron Boone, and this is just wild to me, he said the Yankees have been working on creative cuts to accommodate Aaron Judge in the outfield, essentially, and this is all quotes, essentially cutting down the distance he'd need for any throw. Let me ask you guys this. If you were playing football and they told you, we're going to try and cut down on throws down the field, what are the safeties going to do when they know that you've said that pregame?
They're going to adapt to it.
Hey, come on up. Come on up to the line of scrimmage. They don't want to go deep. They're protecting his arm. So when a ball's out to the outfield, to Apex's point, and Aaron Judge has the ball, he has the ball before the base runners even touch third base, what do you think you should be doing as a third base coach? Hey, why don't you go? If you're Hoes, then it sucks. However, he hasn't shown us he can throw a baseball yet. And it sucks to see someone test someone in a physical way, but this is sports. This isn't the Boy Scouts. This isn't time to feel sorry for anybody. This is sports. When someone is a wounded dog, you take advantage of that. And that's what I think Aaron Judge is right now in right field. And I'm rooting for him to be healthy, but so far, that arm hasn't looked very good. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I hated this whole creative cuts thing.
Creative cuts.
And I wanted to bring up Kirschner because I really couldn't stand what I read. I want to find it because Aaron Boone basically clapped back at Kirschner. That was kind of did you know that?
Yeah, wasn't it? Didn't we talk about it yesterday?
No, it happened again. It was even like, I don't know. It was kind of like I don't know.
They talked this morning. Is that how that happened?
Is it Hoke? No, Cuddy. I think it was.
Okay.
Cuddy had quote tweeted it, and it was like he was just ripping Kirschner or whatever, or not like ripping him personally, but you know.
Well, when you find it, you can obviously throw it up on screen. And Apex with the two says Heel can pitch to Toronto. He starts game three. Apex tweeted this to me. What? Let's get this back up on screen. We'll get to that Heel. Like, I have it right here. Jake, go ahead with the quote.
Aaron Boone on Judge's non-throw last night. Quote, the last couple of weeks, if you guys have been paying attention, we worked on different creative cuts and things like that. We'll continue to do that. And hopefully kind of continue to evolve it as we go. The idea, and it's like we were talking about, but it was the, if you guys have been paying attention. Like, he's saying this to reporters whose job is to pay attention. I think this is incredibly disrespectful. And, you know, obviously Kirschner is just putting the quote out, right? Like, he didn't say anything on it. But it's pretty telling. Brendan Cuddy comes out, he quotes, if you guys have been paying attention, is something else. That's coming from someone who Judge said hadn't watched him throw for 2 weeks, by the way.
Okay.
Now, I know they won, and I want to keep things positive, but we can still address other things that might seem negative.
Yeah, so, okay. So, really, I want to ask our audience something. Drop this in the live chat. I need to read it. Right, we've got about 500 people in here. We should have a lot of comments, a lot of opinions. Everyone's got one. You guys tell me, what's your perspective? when someone says we're coming up with dynamic cuts, meaning this is all it means, go further out into the outfield. Go further out there so that there's less of a throw. What does it tell you about the health of the arm that you're seeing out there? Aaron Judge has one of the strongest arms. According to the Jays manager, he is one of the strongest arms and most accurate arms in baseball. That's a quote. So when you now have dynamic cutoffs, and Aaron Boone basically called our reporters complete dumbasses with that report.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, let me do my job. If you actually knew what you were doing, you would see this. Really what he's upset at is that somebody is poking for a real answer. Hates that. Can't stand it. So I want to know from each and every one of you, you tell me what it means literally. When someone says we need our cutoff men to run closer to the outfield so that we don't have to worry about longer throws, what does that mean? To me, it means his arm isn't 100% or close to it. Because if it was, we wouldn't need dynamic cutoffs. Isn't that obvious?
Yeah.
Jake, this is, it seems like finally we're at a position now where when they say it's difficult to manage play and just be in New York, right? In this media, thank God we finally have some reporters willing that not to just toss up softball questions of, hey, what does it mean to get Aaron Judge back out there in his MVP form? He had 2 home runs tonight. That's just garbage. I don't need those reports. This is what I need. I need substance. I need friction. Do we need to argue every day? No, absolutely not. But when there's an answer to be had and you're refusing to give it to me, should I just sit down? Should I just stand down and let, I don't know, somebody ask a question and then I say, well, I could ask this, but Aaron Booney will get upset with me. No, ask the question. Love it.
No, I love it too. I would say it like this: when it comes to those type of things that you're talking about, that media always seems to ask, what'd you think about winning? Like, it was cool. I mean, what else do you want from me? That is window dressing for an article. It's essentially, how do I word this? It's like typing out B-roll.
Yeah, you're hitting your quota. Hey, boss, I work for the New York Post. I got out those 3 articles you wanted me to get out. All the reports are how happy guys are. I was so happy. My family was happy. They were in attendance. That stuff is hogwash.
Yeah,
total nonsense.
I don't want to disrespect like journalism. You're still covering the story of the game, right? I'm saying they use those quotes as like window dressing and like B-roll in a article that might have substance to it. That's really all it's for.
It's definitely filler. Aaron Judge said that he was really happy to have hit 3 home runs today. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, wow, really, were you?
I always laugh happy. At that. Okay. And I go through it every year and I feel like such an asshole because I'm going live right after, well, we go live 30 minutes to longer, depending on the day, after the Yankees. I go live right after the Rams game. Right after. So I don't really see the pressers, although I do love Sean McVay pressers. However, it's just funny to me because you'll say something, you know, like, well, I don't know. Anyway, like, the point being, right, is that these pressers will happen. And you're sitting there and you're like, wow, I really want to know this. Like, I have questions myself. I actually want to, like, have answered. And these people who have the credentials, I'm not saying everybody, but some people, they'll ask Sean McVay, like, yeah, so what were your thoughts on the win today? What are your thoughts? Like, be more specific. Like, start. Like, so my question.
Well, you know,
question,
believe it or not, that. Those managers and those, like a Sean McVay, for example, they love those questions. Why?
Of course.
Because it takes up their time and they're forced to take the time anyways. So if you have to be in there for 10 minutes, who would I rather talk to? Chris Kirshner, who's going to ask me a question where I actually have to give him substance, otherwise it looks like friction? Or do I want Jim Bob Billy, who's sitting in the corner?
Jim Bob Billy.
I can be like, hey, look over everyone you know is going to ask a real damn question and say, hey, Jim, you do a great job. So Luis Gil went out there and gave up one run today to the Toronto Blue Jays in game two, which obviously in last night's game with Schlittler didn't go well. What did it mean for Luis Gil to go out there and shut it down in a game you guys had to win? That's a professional job. That is garbage. And you said earlier, you're like, oh, I respect that. I don't.
No. I get what you're saying.
Booty.
It's a creative. It is art. It's not something that I personally would do, but you know, they're working, right? It's not somebody that's sitting there not doing like their job. And look,
yeah, technically they're not sleeping, yeah. But like,
yeah, no. Come on, that's brutal.
Technically, they're not sleeping. I mean, you hate AI just as much as I do.
I despise.
We can literally have an AI bot just sit there and be like, "What did it mean?" And then obviously, so this is when Apex brings up the super, this is forward thinking. It forces you to answer something down the road rather than just saying, Heal was good. All right, guys, like this video. And that's it. Apex is saying Heal can pitch to Toronto. Now, someone actually, I believe it was Apex, mentioned he's pitched well against Toronto before. So that was the context leading up to this game. And I didn't want to read too much into it until I saw what's going to happen against Toronto when we see him in September. That I had to see that context. And so now, Jake, I ask you the question. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not sure how I would answer this question. But if there was a game three, would you go with Schlittler or would you go with Gil? We still know Luis Gil's going to struggle with his control in any big game.
I'd still go with Schlittler.
I completely agree. I still do, even though I couldn't be happier about today's performance while also against Toronto. I just feel like Gil is earning a spot because you said they might go three-man rotation. If Gil pitches his way and you say he should for sure be in the rotation, what do they go, four-man? I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't see four man, but I mean, they did pitch. What was it, Luis Gil in the Guardians game? Right?
I don't remember him pitching.
He did pitch.
Did he? Yeah. Don't even remember that.
Yeah. Let me find it. He did. I know he pitched. Oh my God. Let's see.
Yeah, so Hollow is in our comments, who's a member of ours. So Hollow, thank you. Says he'll pitch the American League Championship Series in game four. So that's the game
he actually he's down for two starts, one in the AL ALCS and World Series.
Okay. So there you see it, Hollow, same thing. World Series game four. Okay, great. So there were some people saying, do you throw Gil in the bullpen, maintain the three-man rotation? Or there are people who could have this answer as well. No. Schlittler just did that in the big game against Toronto, one of the teams you're probably going to see. Gil just showed you he can pitch well, not just today, but he's shown in the past, I can beat Toronto. And if you run into these contenders, would you rather throw them with somebody who has experience of success against these teams? I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think there's justification on both sides, but I probably personally go with Schlittler just because the mentality and the stuff, but I don't know if this is a good problem to have, I guess.
Oh my God, the good problem to have.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's your favorite.
Four innings in both starts in the playoffs. Three hits, two earned runs, three walks, and three strikeouts against Cleveland. He's lucky they got run support in that one. Eight. Then he had run support in the second game that he started against the Dodgers. The only game the Yankees would go on to win in that series. He gave up five hits, four earned runs, two home runs, two walks, only one strikeout in four innings. And he got helped out big time by the run support. 11-4. Volpe Grand Slam certainly helped that. But yeah, I just feel like with Schlittler, I look at like Rodon, right? Rodon had that kind of disappointing start against Kansas City, was able to bounce back. I kind of feel like that's Schlittler. Basically, the good is so good that it outweighs the bad. Because I just read off, Luis Gil has a 6 3.75 ERA in two starts in the postseason. Why can't I give... How much worse can it get with Schlittler? But how much better can it be? And that's the thing. I think Schlittler can be a lot better. And so for that reason, I go with him.
I think it's more of just recency, right? Because Schlittler over his last four starts has been great. Max Fried, to open this show, I mentioned exactly what he did, right? Exactly. Boston.
Yeah.
The Houston series. It's awesome. What if he no-shows tomorrow? Would it suddenly, oh, let's put him to game two. If it's at home, we'll pitch him. But if it's on the road, no. Like, would it change his role? Probably not. The reason for it is you'd say, well, he was awesome, had the blister, was terrible. Then he was awesome again. Here he is. This is our ace. And then what? This is the biggest series of the year. You're talking about the rubber match. Tomorrow's game is going to dictate whether or not the Yankees believe we're going to win this division or not. They're going to tell us we're going to win the division. Don't worry about it. But the actual outcome will dictate the feeling of the rest of the season. I guarantee it. Every single person in our comments, if we lose tomorrow, they're going to say, oh, wild card, here we come. And if we win, I can promise you, maybe not all of us, because all of the internet doesn't agree on everything. They just never
Wait,
agree on
everything. Really? I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So the result is going to dictate it. So Max Fried, I believe, he's not going to be pitching for his role in October. And Cam Schlittler, I just try to judge him based on what he's been most of the time. Most of the time, he's someone I can trust. And that's what I try to judge all these players on. We try to do that with Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez. And we told everyone, hey, it looks really bad right now, but this is what it's looked like over the long term. And it's really bad. And then we made our judgment based on that. So Max Fried, Rodon, Schlittler, Heel, you're starting to see some long-term data of guys succeeding. I want people to remember the long-term and not necessarily just what just happened in game one. So yeah, Cam Schlittler, in my opinion, he deserves a ton of credit for what he's done. And it's not like we can gloss over what he did. He was awful.
So does the bullpen today, by the way.
What about it?
I thought they were really good. Bednar, Cruz.
I know you text me after Cruz came out the game, but they wanted to go to Bednar. They clearly knew they were going multi-inning. It's obviously four out, so it's nothing crazy, but they wanted to do that, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. You know, I just wanted to work out. I thought Cruz looked great. You know, I was a little surprised they took him out. I made a joke because there were people behind us screaming, you know, Cruz. And screaming. My ears are gone. And I made a joke with my friend group, and I was just like, oh, since I have no idea why they took out Fernando Cruz, this had to have been why. They had to take him out because they couldn't stop. They were like, we can't deal with this woman anymore. we got to take him out.
Is this the last time you sit out in right field, or was the price right? Because I'll tell you right now, you won't see me in right field ever.
I mean, I'll sit anywhere. I'm one of those people, I can sit in the upper nosebleed, you know, behind home plate, and I'm good.
I mean, I can sit in bad seats. I just don't like to sit next to fans that are going to just ruin my experience. It's like going to the movies. I go to the movies and I see people texting and
and then I shouldn't tell you what she said.
No, it just makes me want to just punch
someone. I am going to tell you. So there was that play where there was like a pass ball later on, like after the rain delay.
Okay.
And she was like, no, he needs to go back to first. He can't go on a ball. What? Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously where we sat, and it's not like we were sitting in the damn legend seats. Like, we weren't ordering steak and lobster and Brussels sprouts behind the plate. We were sitting down the first base line. In that area, it wasn't that expensive. It was a slight upgrade, but I was around people who at least were civil. And I can bring my wife and my daughter. Yeah, aside from them, it was cool. Yeah, I like the idea of being around people. Like, I'm not going to be sitting next to too many young people.
That thing, like, every single pop-up is going to be a home run?
Yeah, not everything. You have to have some experience there.
Jason Dominguez is literally nowhere near the he's in, and the warning track is way back behind him, and they're like, Oh, come on. What do you mean? Like, the ball is losing its flight. It's not going over his head.
Like, yeah, you know, everything's a home run. By the way, Jake, what was our exact prompt for this episode?
Does a win tomorrow make the Yankees the most dangerous team? The answer is 100% resounding yes.
Comment section, I want to know, what do you think about this? We're not telling you guys to merit. We're not trying to convince you of anything. You can think what you want. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, there were a lot of people, and I was with them 100% on that side of the fence, that I don't really care what the Yankees do against everybody else. You got Houston today. Game one against Houston. What are you going to do against Houston? Houston's, they're not playing the best baseball, but they're still a good team. Go out there and take care of business. Said, okay. Umpires were terrible. You took 2 of 3. I'll take a step back here. But I'm going to stop there, because I want to see what you do against Toronto. Toronto has a completely different approach than you do. They'll put the ball in play, and they've done exactly that. Struck out 5 times today total of their 27 outs. Ball's in play all day. And the Yankees found a way to make all the throws, make all the plays, the sack flies, they got them. They ran the bases, and they won the game. That's the goal. You win the game. And so now you're going into the rubber match, and every single, Jake, person who said the Yankees are not for real, and like I said, I was with them, all predicted the Yankees weren't going to beat Houston and beat Toronto. If we told you they're going to do both of those things, then what would you say? That's the interesting part. So we're going to learn a lot about this team, in my opinion, tomorrow. We are. And for those of you who are going to miss it because there's football, I don't blame you. It's week one, and I know Jake's excited. He probably can't wait to go to bed to watch some football tomorrow. And for me, I'm on the West Coast.
I'm so good for another 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, we still got voicemails, my guy. So, but the Yankees have to prove it. They can't talk about it. They can't tell us it shouldn't happen. None of that stuff. It's all about results. And the Yankees went out there today and won. Now there are people sitting in our comments, and myself included, and we're going to say, all right, well, what are you going to do in game three? If you show up and win and Fried is an ace again for the fourth consecutive start, okay, now you have my attention, because this was half the battle. Boston, Toronto, those are the two teams that are just absolutely dunking all over you the entire season. If you guys could handle these teams at any decent clip at all, I mean, we probably are winning 98, 99 games, but obviously we are who we are. We're not beating these teams. So, Jake, I know you just answered it. You think we are a serious contender if we win tomorrow's game. I know it sounds a little ridiculous, but
yeah,
that was the job at hand, to beat them in this series. So, exciting times. Can't wait for the game.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Tomorrow, just looking ahead, or not really looking ahead. I mean, we're already Joey, on tomorrow.
Well, Joey's already looking ahead. He says the Panthers are going 17-0. Yep, and you're winning the Powerball tomorrow, my guy.
Well,
that's tonight, actually.
I think I have the Panthers winning. Well, I have it right here in my notes. How many games do you think I have the Panthers winning?
4?
7 games.
Seven games. Cool.
Tied with the Minnesota Vikings, 7-10. So,
okay, I'll go 5.
I don't know why they traded away Adam Thielen to the Vikings, but looking forward to Bryce Young. Anyway,
it's a cool story. But you know, is there anything else, though, of the game, right? Because we want to make sure we cover everything from the game. We talk Bellinger, right? Judge.
You asked me about the rain delay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, what the hell did you do?
Oh, yeah, I just went back to like where the concession was, and I got ice cream, and basically I just talked with my group.
Is everything open? Like, can you get a Wagyu burger? Like, is everything available during the rain?
I didn't see a Wagyu burger anywhere, so I got a chicken bucket.
Ladies and gentlemen, where are the Wagyu burgers? Because I promise you, the next time I go to Yankee Stadium, I don't even want to smell a chicken tender. I want to go straight to the Wagyu. So please drop it in the comments. I will throw you up on the screen. I really appreciate it.
I got the garlic. What is it? I don't know. The garlic parm fries. And they were like in the bucket. Because you know how like the value fries last time were just like, You ate like the top of them, and then the bottom of them were just like awful. Yes. So I got the garlic parm fries, and the problem is that it was like soaked with like a garlic parm like sauce. Like it wasn't even a sauce. It was like a rub, but like, I don't know. I know exactly, so you just
walked around with some garlic parm fries for 2 hours? I mean, you kidding me?
No. I didn't have that because that was like before. And then when the raid delay happened, I threw them out because they were soaked, you know? So yeah, I really just, I had some ice cream. They have the soft served. So had ice cream, met two people, and yeah, just kind of hung out. And it felt, oh, this is what made it kind of go by fast. I was watching the Kansas-Mizzou game. So I had that on my phone, and I had my battery strapped to the back of my phone. Like, I had, like, a, you know?
Yeah, I see.
And I was good. So I just put that on, talked to people.
But you said you met a couple people.
Yeah.
Was that from our post, like, from the post you made that you said you were at the stadium?
Yeah, I was. So it was hard because, you know, I didn't wear anything. You know, and that was the issue, is that I didn't wear anything. I got up super early, and I had only gotten 3 hours of sleep. I didn't wear anything that really stood out. The only thing was, like, I had this lanyard sticking out of my jeans. So I'm like, yeah, if you saw the NFC champion Super Bowl Rams lanyard,
they could flag you down.
You could probably see me, but, like, you probably wouldn't see that, so... You know, I didn't think of it. By the time I got on the train to go to the Bronx, I was like wearing a Yankee hat, a black shirt. Like, I didn't have anything to really stand out. I was just a basic white guy with a chain. So, you know what I'm saying? So that was the thing.
You were in there looking like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. But like, I had no choice. Like, I couldn't wear the Freddy Krueger sweater because like people were saying to do that. I would have died. Dead on arrival because it was that hot, Gary. It was so hot. There was that one point where
you're
sitting
there. So
we're
not going to do our event in September. So we're going to have to figure out maybe late September of next year. Who knows? We're going to figure it out.
You'll have days. Like, there'll be days where it's like 68.
No, I mean, that's great. I just want to have...
perfect baseball weather, in my opinion.
Because the thing is about it, you have to book these things months in advance.
Yeah,
cannot have it where people are showing up, because I've shown up to an event before and you're just dying. I hate the sun, hate it.
Love, oh, you would have, you would have hated.
No, trust me, I would have loved it. I'll tell you why. I would have stood out in the concourse. That's exactly what I did. I stood out on the concourse,
yeah,
with my wife, and we did not move from that position. We sat out there and they're like, hey, how's it going?
The rain was a breath of fresh air. I will say that. I very much enjoyed the rain. Yeah, I caved today. I saw Apex was like, no seed oils. I know. But like, here's the thing. When I'm eating at home, I'm avoiding them for the most part. Like, when I'm out and about, you know, I'm out at like a baseball game, you really don't have much of a choice. You just, like, you know what I mean? So I will say, we went to Billy's Bar beforehand. Have you been there?
No.
It doesn't even make sense. Doesn't look like it's that big. You walk in, it's this giant like club setting. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It
sounds
like
exactly the type of thing I avoid.
No, it's not a club, and I'm not a club like fan, right? But it's got kind of like that vibe, and there's like two, you know, there's two floors, and they have like the giant TVs and stuff. So people are watching the you know, the NCAA, the college football, you know, games and whatnot. So we went there beforehand. I thought it was a cool place. I mean, would I go there every time? Probably not, but I thought it was cool. And then, yeah, we went to Yankee Stadium, and yeah, I mean, for the most part, like, it was hot, and then it rained, and then, you know, the problem is the sun, when it gets out of that cloud coverage, you're just getting baked.
I'm the type of person, Jake, where someone's like, hey, man, it's a great vibe. There's this bar. I'm going to come watch the game. I'm the type of person who'd rather be like three stories down in a bunker like literally like some type of war bunker, and I'm by myself watching the game. I can't watch the game with anybody. I don't know, like Super Bowl, World Series, any big event. If
like
there's
the
a
Yankees?
Yeah, I don't want to see a person anywhere within 300 yards of me during Jeez, a big Gary. Game. I'm not even kidding you, because my mentality on the game is just like, there's just too much going on. And a lot of people don't realize I've cared about this for a long time, right? Like podcasting, it was, I guess, a thing. Was not a thing where you can, like, I don't know, speak about it, talk about it. None of that stuff. That wasn't a thing since I've been a fan. And I'd always watch the games by myself. Or there are a lot of people who watch games and are like, I only want to watch it with this one person. Other than that, if it's not that person, you watch a Super Bowl and your team's in the Super Bowl and you've got other fans, like other friends, just like, oh, he fumbled the ball, and they're talking. No, it's just not for me. Apex is some numbers. He was mentioning what I brought up.
My family. That's the thing. Like I remember all my moments watching the Rams with my dad, my uncle, you know. Same with college basketball with KU. I mean, those moments where like a dude pulls up 3-point, now, you know, it's a tie game, completes a crazy 18-point comeback. Like, I remember who was in the room when that happened, and I like it. I don't know.
You don't want someone walking up to you and be like, Gary, Trent Grisham hit that home run. It completed my parlay on DraftKings.
No. That's different. That is different.
I don't care at all. I'm talking, it's a championship series, and I'm you guys talking, are telling me about yeah. this gambling service. I don't care at all. So, like, yeah, hey, William, I see you say, Gary, dive bar. Yeah, if I can rent out the dive bar and I'm the only person allowed in there, bingo. That'd be awesome. Apex
That'd be
says
hilarious.
The poor Dodgers, yeah, the poor Dodgers who just won the World Series with the two, says poor Dodgers in Boston. The Dodgers were one out away from a no-hitter and ended up losing. And then to compound the problem, obviously San Diego was playing Colorado.
Oh, my God.
And they won 10-8. So now
it really be like that.
It is a one-game lead. I believe it's one game on the nose for the National League West. So it's getting interesting. The Dodgers have now lost, I think it's either 5 or 6 games in a row. It's getting crazy. The league is getting crazy. But then we've got HS with the two, says Wells earning himself playing time. What do you think about that concept? Because we've talked about this, is that almost no matter what Wells does, unless you're just going to free up first base, which I think there's a case clearly that,
yeah.
and we've seen the defense is to be desired, right? It is. When you're throwing somebody out there like Ben Rice at first base, you're not getting the best glove. Now, Paul Goldschmidt's not the best glove either, but he's better than Rice at first. So if Wells earns himself playing time, and certainly he did today, he was a good player for the Yankees. They needed it. Well, does he deserve to play tomorrow? You can justify that. Yeah. How did you feel about that? Because I know you like Austin Wells. I like Austin Wells. But just because I like you doesn't mean you should play. But I think there's a case right now.
No, definitely a case. They don't win the game today without Austin Wells. If Ben Rice was at catcher and Paul Goldschmidt's at first, I think they lose.
Yeah.
I just do.
At least so today. No,
he definitely should be in the lineup today, right? Max Fried going against Max Scherzer. The battle of the Maxes. Max Scherzer's a right-hander. There's zero reason for Wells not to be playing, because there's zero reason for Paul Goldschmidt to be playing.
What are his numbers exactly? Just so that, because you've pulled them up before.
Yeah.
What is Paul Goldschmidt hitting against right-handed pitching?
So against right-handed pitching, Paul Goldschmidt.
Because that is the task at hand for Sunday's finale.
It's awful. It's not good. By the way, Ben Rice is the starter on the depth chart now. He's listed as the starting first baseman. So, sign of the times. Anyway, against right-handed pitching, because first off, against left-handed pitching, 370, a 444 on base, a 646 slugging, and over 1,000, almost 1,100 OPS. Now, that's gone down. That's not quite Ted Williams, but he's still very, 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 very good against lefties. Against righties, however, and he's seen more righties, mind you. 240 batting average, 279 on base, 325 slugging, a 604 OPS. Awful. This is not a good hitter.
That is 96 points.
I mean, it's below still better than Anthony Volpe, but...
It's not good enough to play over the other option.
No,
that's all that matters. So tomorrow, we should clearly see Austin Wells behind the plate. He's earned it based on what he did today. We don't have to overthink it. Put him back there. And in these type of games, you can't afford to make mistakes behind the plate. I think the Yankees do this. You get Wells behind the plate, Ben Rice should be at first base. He's teed up against a right-handed arm. It's exactly who you want out there. I think they get this done. I do. And I was actually talking to you pre-show about what to expect tomorrow with the outfield. Aaron Judge played game one. He was in right field. They said, oh, don't worry about it. We've got it figured out. We've got these dynamic cutoffs. We've got all this stuff going on. Well, we saw very quickly that arm does not look ready to play.
No.
Giancarlo Stanton, you text me right away when you saw it. You weren't happy that Giancarlo Stanton wasn't playing. So...
Because I didn't get to see Stanton. Giancarlo will play. What the hell?
Stanton more than likely will play tomorrow. My guess was that I'm going to see Giancarlo in right field based on the way Aaron Boone answered the question this morning. He even said, I thought about playing him today. However, because of the Houston series, I went against it. So that tells me he gave him an extra day off, and we put Dominguez out there to refresh him. Dominguez won't play tomorrow. Grisham will be out there. Bellinger will be out there. You're going to see Giancarlo Stanton out in right field, and I think that's the right play. I really do. I just can't see a world where playing a player who cannot throw the baseball, I don't care how good he is, it doesn't make sense. I think Aaron Judge should be the DH tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. And I need Caballero to step up. I've been defending him a lot. He has not been good. It's like, I understand, you know, people want him to play over Volpe, and I have been saying he should. But the reality is Caballero in September is hitting 167 with a 619 OPS. Okay. In August, he hit 250. And mind you, all of August, he was with the Yankees. 250, 364 on base, and an 808 OPS. He's not doing that right now. He doesn't look like that. So... if he's not hitting, then he can't be playing. Like, you can't be yelling at Volpe when they're about the same and Volpe offers pop, right? And Caballero isn't necessarily a better defender either. He's like, you know, probably about the same. Does that make sense, Gary? I just want to be fair here. Because
you're being fair.
Yeah.
You're definitely being fair. No, it's fair.
Yeah, because
you got to perform if you want us to clamor for you to play.
Because I'll have your back, but you got to show me there has to be a reason. I'm not just going to be like, yeah, I love Caballero because he's the new Yankee, so anything he does goes. Like, no, I need to see more. So I feel like this is something that you could hear it at the stadium today. Volpe boos, which, by the way, hate it. I don't like it. I truthfully don't like it. You know, I have as much of an issue with Anthony Volpe's development as anybody. And I just think it's just, I think it's disrespectful. I do not like booing, period. He comes up to the plate, he gets booed. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not, again, am I a fan of his? Not really, no. But the idea that, like, it just feels like people want him to fail. They want him to just get the hell out of the way. They don't want him to fix it.
I don't think that's why they're booing. Because for me personally, the booing doesn't bother me. Because I'll tell you right now, obviously my dad had played for the Yankees, and it's when you're watching Alex Rodriguez be booed.
That's just idiotic.
It's like at the same time you're watching A-Rod get booed. The whole point is that you need to know how we feel, and that's just what it is. Now, technically speaking, the Yankees fans could decide we're just not going to boo. But also one thing you need to keep in mind, the type of fan that would boo would be behind you the most when you're performing. That's the one thing that people really don't credit Yankees fans with enough, in my opinion.
That's fair.
They make it seem like they're just waiting to just fart all over you. And then when you're good, they just sit there like a mouse. That's wrong. Not true at all. They will fly across the country to go see your behind. In San Diego, in San Francisco. They'll get a place in Tampa to go watch you. Other fans aren't doing that. Do some do? Like, will some do it? Yeah. But it's not like the Yankees. So these are fanatics. That's what a fan is. And the Yankees take it to the next level. The Yankees fans take it to the next level. So I hear what you're saying. It doesn't really seem like there's any real reason to boo, because, like, what is it you're trying to accomplish? They're just trying to show you what they feel, and that's just how it comes out. Now, I agree with you completely about the whole Altuve thing. I think it's dumb because it's over and done with. It happened years ago.
So annoying.
But that said, I think when Volpe comes up to the plate and people boo, they're booing the concept that, oh, he just plays every day. It doesn't matter how he performs. It's almost like a way of life rather than being about him in a personal way. And Anthony Volpe has to know, when you're a top prospect for a team and you play shortstop, you play every single day, you never sit, never. Now, he's probably sat three times this year, three times. And you don't perform for a stretch of 3 to 4 weeks ever, not once. He never had a hot month, not this whole year. You are not going to just walk up to Yankee Stadium and walk up to the plate to silence. You just have to know what team you're playing for. And it's been like that, not just for Volpe. This is not a witch hunt. Literally every person that's worn this uniform deals with exactly what Volpe is dealing with. Joey Gallo was booed the hell out of.
Oh, yes.
Did it help him perform? No, it probably did the opposite. Does it help? And Alex Rodriguez being booed to smithereens? Probably not. But it wasn't designed to help you. It was designed to feel heard. And then when you perform, we'll just be there when you perform and we'll cheer louder than anyone else. So I hear what you're saying. I get it. It is frustrating to listen to people boo players. But I just try to just remove the personal aspect of it. It's not personal.
No, I get it. I was always, I think it's also because just like my upbringing, like my dad always kind of raised me against the whole booing thing, just that it was disrespectful. So I don't know. I've never liked it. I don't know. I don't like judge people that do it. I just personally don't like it. But yeah. Yeah, I'm not like out on Caballero though. I wanted to make that clear. I just wanted to remind people, like, okay, because I mean, I mentioned August, his splits. What I didn't mention is he had 38 at bats. He's had 44 at bats as a New York Yankee, right? So I mean, like, that's not a ton. So we do need to see more, but at the same time, is he wowing us right now? No. So that, I think that's my thing, is like, yes, I don't love seeing Volpe in the lineup, I get it. But, like, for Caballero to play every day over Volpe, he needs to, like, actually show something. And
well, do you have his numbers in front of you? I was hoping you didn't, actually.
Yeah, so with the Yankees, he's currently hitting .238, and he has a .782 OPS. So it's not, again, like, that's not bad at all. But my biggest thing, Gary, is that we just have to be honest that he hasn't had a ton of plate appearances, and I know that. But there are times where I like him, but I'm not trying to make him out as somebody that he isn't. And I think it's very similar to Key Brian Hayes. I liked Key Brian Hayes for the fit. I liked the whole story with, you know, his father playing for this team. I like all of that. But by no means was I saying he's going to come here and do what like Jazz Chisholm did, right? No, I wasn't saying that he has a chance to be a star. I'm saying they could figure it out maybe, and he could be a better player, right? Caballero is a fun player to have. But I'm also not like when I didn't, you know, I see him in the lineup or I don't see him in the lineup now. It's like, it is what it is. I don't think Volpe's really good enough to be an everyday shortstop right now, currently. So I think that's my disconnect. But I'm not probably necessarily
more so none of them. It's more so should Caballero, performing the way he is in the short term right now, mm-hmm. should he be the starting shortstop of the Yankees in a pennant race? No. Should Anthony Volpe, the way he's played over the last 6 months, is that good enough to say, yeah, you're the shortstop of the Yankees tomorrow, and I'm just not even going to think twice about it? He's going to play tomorrow at shortstop. Now, He had a nice hit today. We gave him credit for it earlier in the show. We're not going to take anything away from him.
Yeah.
Anthony Volpe hasn't played well enough over the last 6 months to just be a pencil in September. However, I'm going to go back to what Michael Kay has mentioned many times. These are your options. Now, you can go with Caballero, who's not really swinging it that great right now. You can put him at shortstop. That's certainly a choice. I'm not going to tell anyone that's the horrible choice. It's not. But Anthony Volpe isn't a great choice either. There isn't a great choice for the Yankees at shortstop. All I ask is that whoever you pencil in tomorrow at short, I'm going to be rooting for it to work, because if it doesn't, we're screwed. We need you to win this game. So Apex with the two says, hot take. Cody's in right field tomorrow, and G is the DH. Judge gets off. Now, I think there's no shot in hell in a must-win game. If you sit Aaron Judge, I would probably, and I really mean this, I would pull probably about all the money I've got out my checking and probably purchase as many drug tests as I could to ask Aaron Boone what he was thinking sitting Aaron Judge in a literal must win. You have to win tomorrow. And if you go into a must win game and Aaron Judge doesn't play, John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, probably would come to the stadium and do a skip onto the field. He probably couldn't. He probably would be he would be over the moon to learn, I don't have to pitch to Aaron Judge. I don't have to think about the game plan for Aaron Judge. The game against the Yankees becomes so much easier. And I understand exactly what you're getting at here, because we all want Judge to have a physical reset. Here's the problem, Apex. Here's the problem. The problem is that the Yankees are in must-win territory. You don't get an opportunity. There's no bye situation. This isn't like the NFL. We'll get him off his feet in the third quarter. We're in must-win time. So anytime you see a must-win game, 99, unless he's so physically impaired where he can't swing a bat and be himself, he's the first name I'm putting in the lineup, and I just don't think twice.
No, I agree, and I think that's a really good way to bring it up, because, I mean, tomorrow is, you should just look at it like an elimination game, right?
Yep.
I mean, it is so important, because otherwise, I would say tomorrow, a better prompt would have been like, is tomorrow, well, I don't know how to word it. The point being, tomorrow is wild card, or are you going to win the AL East?
Completely agree. If we lose tomorrow, the verdict is, yeah, Yankees are a good team in the wild card. Yeah, you probably don't want to play them out of a wild card. But if we win tomorrow, I mean, it's not like we jolt up into first place, but you're talking about a now two-game lead for Toronto. You lose that series. They beat Houston. They now have a day off. Thank God. I can't believe it. The Yankees will have a day off ahead of the Detroit series. I cannot believe that.
Back-to-back perfect Monday timing. Day offs is wild.
It is wild, and it's perfect for the Yankees, because you're playing a team where it'll send a message to the league. Oh, they beat Detroit. They beat Toronto. They beat Houston. And Detroit's not the best team right now. They've won 3 games their last 10. So you can send a message without doing a whole lot here. You can. And the Yankees have to start. I mean, a prerequisite is winning, as you put it. And I'm glad you brought that up. If the Yankees win tomorrow, we're looking at the division. Everyone is looking at that division. If you lose, you're now cast back. And it's just sort of looking like something that's a mirage, something we'll never reach. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you got no excuse. Ace is on the mound. You have all the momentum. I mean, really, here's the key. You go out there, you win the game, you absorb all the momentum that Toronto has. Now, what you're hoping for is that you knock Toronto down a spiral.
Yes.
That's what you're hoping for. And you take care of business against Detroit, and Toronto just has to lose a few games, and guess what? You don't look back. So,
now, a 4-game lead, that's a lot to squander. We've seen it happen before in September. I mean, it's not our first rodeo.
What was the biggest lead they had? It was over 6 games.
Yeah. Does anyone know that in the comment section? Do you know exactly how far did Toronto stretch this? How far was their division lead? Because we had quite the lead as well, and we just crapped the sheets.
I'm curious.
6.5. So HS is saying 6.5. That's roughly what I remember seeing. And Jason, yeah.
Came on the back of a significant surge, 26-10 run to claim first place. Yeah, I've stood by it. I do think they're going to lose the division. I do. I mean, I thought the Yankees were going to sweep them. They didn't. But winning 2 out of 3 is obviously the next best thing. And
you know that Cam Schlittler was going to go out there and have it. No, I had no idea. You didn't think he was going to throw a no hitter, but do enough and pitch the way he'd been pitching.
Easy now. We got Dodgers fans in here. No hitter is not a good. That is a trigger. Oh,
what? They lost. What do you mean?
That's a trigger statement now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, Yamamoto goes from throwing a no-hitter to them losing.
Wouldn't be the first time I trigger someone on the internet. Peace Geek, thank you for the 5. Really appreciate that. Welcome aboard. This is our last super, and then we can get on to our voicemail diamond level. So we really appreciate it. Yeah. Peace Geek with the 5 says, let's keep the mojo of playing the game right for the game tomorrow. Yeah, it felt that way. Not the whole time. I'm not going to act like this whole game I was like, oh, this is a breath of fresh air. No. But by the end, when the stress was over and Bednar was walking off the mound and they were playing Frank, I felt like I had watched a complete game where, yeah, some mistakes happen along the way. All teams make them. But they made the right plays at the right times. Jake, you said that that throw from Bellinger, you didn't feel like they were going to lose after that throw. I felt that way.
Yeah.
And that's the type of play that you have to make in these type of games. So, yeah, Peace Geek. Let's keep this mojo. Not sure where it came from or why it's here, but if they win tomorrow, it'll officially feel like something. But if we lose, it's nothing. So we'll have to figure out what the hell our title is going to be tomorrow in a win or loss even before it happens. Because either way, it's going to be either doom and gloom. I'm showing up in a suit, in a black suit for a funeral, or I'm showing up for a parade. Let's roll.
Hell yeah. So we went over tomorrow's game. Appreciate you, Peace Geek. And now we are going to get to some voicemails, and then I'm going to bed. So let's see here. We got Guy.
Hey, giving a prediction is fun. I was going to talk about Austin Wells some, but instead I got into pregame analysis, which may be kind of weird being heard at the end of the night. In short, I think Austin Wells today will extend his on-base streak to 8 games. In his last 7 games, he's hitting .333 with 4 walks. So it's something to keep an eye on.
He didn't extend that, no.
Gill, I think, will fall short of a quality start, which would be 6 innings. Although the Blue Jays' opposing starting pitchers are still only around league average of 5.3. However, Toronto does make the division rivals work hard, as we saw yesterday. I hope to see Gill give us at least 5 innings. He would have to be really sharp to go beyond that. For Gill to give us 5-plus innings to win this game, we need to play solid defense and perhaps need a couple double plays today.
They try.
If we make a couple of mistakes, this game could change quickly. On the offensive side, Bassett strikes out about 1 per inning, gives up a lot of walks, and is susceptible to home runs. So I see the Yankees scoring in typical fashion via the home run again today. I believe Bassett will also be out before the 6th inning, and we should see Toronto's bullpen for a few innings. Today's prediction, Yankees 7, Blue Jays 4.
Well, you had a 3-run win. The Yankees won by 2. We'll take it. We'll take
this
it, guy.
This wasn't bad, because if you think
about it. No, this is really good. The Bassett thing was kind of an outlier, Gary. He's given up 22 home runs, and he could not hit the long ball today.
Yeah, when I saw who was pitching, that was my immediate thought process. You actually brought it up last night, and you said, well, he gives up a ton of homers, so you're thinking, okay, well, if you struggle at this, and we quite literally are just waiting, cherry picking to hit home runs, we're just waiting on a guy to give them up, then you would expect the Yankees in their usual fashion to be like, hey guys, he gives up the homer, we hit homers, it's a match made in heaven today. And the Yankees just made it seem like the scouting report didn't exist. Love that. Absolutely love it. So there's not really any way to predict that today, of all days, the Yankees were going to watch game one and how it unfolded, and they're going to respond the following day was, oh, you guys want to play this backyard brand of baseball, hit and runs, we're going to spray ball to center, we're going to hit a couple sack flies. We can do that too. We haven't seen that response all year. So, Guy, I really like the prediction. I do.
I love
it. I thought you were actually over the target with a lot of that, the data that you had. And it's just a weird day at the yard.
I know.
It was probably because Jake was there.
Yeah, it was a very weird day. At least this time it was a rain delay, but it was a delay and not a cancellation. Because,
yes,
as you know, I went with my brother and my dad. My dad literally took off from work to go to the game, drove 3 hours, and they're like, nope, no game. Rain delay. Then the delay just kept going. No one was telling us anything. The weather was awful, right? It was actually dangerous going home just because it was so bad. And they canceled it, and it was just like, they're like, oh yeah, the makeup day is tomorrow at 1. My dad's like, I'm not taking off another day of work. So
yeah, they know that. They don't give a rat's.
Yeah, they don't care. But they were, nope. They kept the concessions open to, I remember, to just make, you know, to get more chicken buckets sold. So yeah.
Yeah, it but really guy,
be like that.
Love that voicemail.
It was great.
And I believe he has a second one, so let's let it fly.
Yes.
Hey, I figured I could make this extra call because we're not getting all the voicemails yet that you will have in the future. So thank this you, is after the fourth inning. You know, not quite going the way I thought it would. We could have used the double play that I mentioned in the first.
I was just thinking.
Save that yeah. run. We had double two clutch. Opportunities. Actually, second one. I think it was a great point that Paul O'Neill made about Volpe continuing to make that throw that's unnecessary, which has led to overthrows and bad throws. I mean, he should have learned by now. He's had plenty of experience. You know, the brain's got to tell you no. I don't know why it doesn't in his brain. So I don't know. Maybe we will get six out of Gill. I don't think so, but we will see. Pitch counts are pretty good. The only real disappointment is I thought we needed or would have had a big early hit off of Bassett, and we haven't gotten it. Jazz's swing in the top of the fourth inning was extremely disappointing on that pop-up. Mm. All right.
Well, we did get the six innings from Heal.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how that works?
That's what we need. You can't pass the baton to anyone more than that. And I think maybe you'd like to believe this. You'd like to. You'd like to believe that the Yankees are going to buy in maybe next year into we need to build a staff of arms that know how to get deep into games. They throw enough strikes. They can pitch to enough contact. We don't need Marcus Stroman type guys that throw 91, 92. It doesn't to be some ground ball merchant. It doesn't have to be that. But just the ability to, I mean, you've seen it with Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is one of the most prolific strikeout arms in the history of the sport. And yet he finds ways to punch in six, seven innings, not every time out there, but especially when we need it to happen. Right? When the bullpen needs a break, he can go get that for you. He can go 105, 110 pitches to make it happen. And when you see Heal go through six innings, it was the most important thing that happened all day today. It was. You can't afford. Yarbrough obviously worked a ton this week. You didn't have that option. You were going to see some names like Devin Williams. How would that have worked out?
I did now, not Devin, want Devin Williams on the mound today.
You don't want to see him today. And I can't grip the baseball. My airbender is not working. I don't have my command. You just don't want to have to go down that road. How do you avoid it? By the starting pitcher doing his job to the next level. And Luis Gil, even though he had four walks today, which obviously we'd love to clean that up. When Guy mentions, we might get six innings today. If you told him then, no, we're going to get six innings. He'd say, well, then that's mission success. He's done his job. The Yankees shouldn't give this game away. And of course, we get the six innings, we win.
Yeah. And next up is Ninja Hot Dog.
Could not watch the game because of the wedding. However, I see that we won. Right now, I feel like that woman in the Titanic meme where she says it's been 84 years because it's been forever since we really beat the Toronto Blue Jays. in a game. We're not going to win tomorrow, but wow. It's been 84 years, and the Yankees have finally once again beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. Better enjoy it while it lasts. It won't happen again. That's all I'm going to say. Fire baboon.
Okay. So, clearly, Ninja doesn't have a ton of faith in this series with Toronto, yes. Which I just have a hard time buying into it because I love everything Toronto does offensively. That's clearly where the difference is. That's it is the offense. Their style, obviously it's talent. They've got a ton of talent over there as well. They're a good team. And also to define teams, it's not just about talent. It's how they're coached, what their mentality is, what their game plan is. Do they run the bases? And Toronto in general is our Achilles heel, the way they play. It kills us. And the Yankees, in a way, took a page out of their book in Game 2. Do they rebuttal that with an encore in Game 3? It is still Max Scherzer pitching Game 3, and he is 40. So no disrespect to anyone who's 40, but you don't do things the way you did when you were 25. You just don't. So can he still pitch well? Yeah. Can he think his way around a mound? Yes. And he has a lot of success against some of the guys in our lineup. He just does. But you have to be able to find a way to beat a 40-year-old future Hall of Famer. You just have to. It's the job at hand with your ace in the first year of a $200-plus million contract. There's a reason that he's at this stage of his career and you're at this stage. You need to prove it in Game 3.
I agree. Literally can't say anything more on Game 3 at this point. It is so important. It is really the season, the crossroads meme where you have like on one hand you're going here. Well, it's like AL East champions, wild card, like take your pick. Tomorrow I think we're gonna know, because I think tomorrow is really it, man. It doesn't matter how well the Yankees play. If they lose tomorrow, Toronto wins the series, they maintain momentum, and they're less likely to go down, a down spiral. Whereas I do think they're going to spiral out of control as long as the Yankees take care of business tomorrow, which I believe they will with their ace on the mound. Last two voicemails here. We got Kyle Millay.
Cool.
Hey, guys. Kyle Millay here. Jake, I'm... hope you had a good time at the game.
Thank you, I did.
Really good game by the Yankees. They did okay today. 3-1. Hey, it's a win, so I'll take it. Austin Rose did good. And I forgot who even got the other run for the Yankees. But, yeah, we need a win tomorrow. Get this series. And then go play Detroit. We need at least win 5 out of the next 7 games, I believe. Win tomorrow, and then win 2 out of 3 from Detroit, and at least 2 out of 3 from Boston. And then the schedule gets a little bit easier, but you still got to beat those teams. Let's win tomorrow. Let's get down to two games back, and let's go Yankees. Let's get this win, and you guys have a wonderful show. Have a good night.
Kyle, appreciate that, man. And guys, when he says the schedule gets, it lightens up after those series, there's 20 games left on the entire season. So when Boone tells you last week, oh, there's plenty of time. No, there isn't. There's literally enough time to catch Toronto. But in the sense of the context of the way the question was asked, hey, there's plenty of time. No, there literally isn't. Once this series is over and then you go play Detroit after the day off, you're talking about we're going to be roughly 15, 16 games left in the season. There's no time. None. You have to win these series. So I can't wait to watch this, because this is the type of situation I wanted to see Aaron Boone's Yankees in. I don't want it to fail. I wanted to finally put them in a situation where there's no longer tomorrow that they can say, next week we can get that figured out. We'll make sure it's figured out. Remember Derek Jeter, A-Rod, they're talking on Fox like they got to clean this up. They wouldn't say that now. They know the season's wrapping up. So that's the excitement about this. No more excuses. Kyle, thank you for the voicemail.
Appreciate you, Kyle. And then last but not least, we got our new friend, Chris.
Chris 99.
going on, guys?
Up on screen.
Chris Beck again. Great, great win. Much needed win today. Low scoring affair. It was a little gutsy. It felt like there were times where Blue Jays were going to come back, and then the Bellinger throw was really, really clutch. Have the delay, come back, get an extra run support. Austin Wells is a sack fly demon, and we got the win. It was great. Luis Gil, even though he walked four guys, he was able to get the Blue Jays out, and at the end of the day, we're back where we started, three games behind, and now's your time to go win the series, and you can do it with your ace on the mound, and this is the game for Max Reed. It's time for your ace to be the ace, and it's time for him to deliver. If he goes out there and shoves and we get a win, two games behind, and we have a ton of momentum, would love it. And if you were to ask, if you were to tell people that if we were to win the first two series of this gauntlet of series that we have before it started, people would have taken it. So right now, you just got to go get this dub, take the series win, and then you're on to Detroit and Boston. And who knows what that could, the division could look like when those series are over. And we'll see. I'll be there tomorrow. First game was unfortunate, but I think I've had good luck pretty much overall. This will be my 99th Yankee game overall. There's an app that
you can track
all your games, and I've been tracking it. So hopefully we can pull off a dub. It'll be a great one. And see you guys soon.
Well, we appreciate that, Chris. Yeah,
Chris 99. Chris 99 has been to 99 games.
I love that. Yeah, I want to point out something. You go back to the Boston series, that last game, the last loss they had was 12-1. They come back and they win 7-2, right? They win against Washington three times. They sweep them. They almost sweep Chicago. They win a hard-fought game in the 11th inning. And then they lose a tough 3-2 game. So they come back and they make a statement against Houston, 7-1, right? Well, then they lose another close game. Tough, tough game. 8-7. So they come back and they win 8-4. Well, then Toronto, I mean, just absolute rug pull of a game. They come in, they're back at home, all of that. They lose 7-1. Then you come back with this game. See, that's the difference between right now's Yankees and that whole losing streak Yankees. The losing streak Yankees, they couldn't literally get up. Nope. They couldn't get up. And now you're seeing this team respond. We got embarrassed last night. Then the next day, they're coming back and they're winning games. I have a really good feeling they're going to win tomorrow. I have a feeling they're going to win 2 out of 3 against Detroit. It's no Skubal in that. And I think Flaherty, Mize, and whoever they decide to start, which isn't Skubal, with Warren, Rodon, and Schlittler, I think they're in a really good position there. So I really like what they have. I think they win 2 out of 3 against not only Houston, but Toronto and Detroit. And that Boston series is kind of up in the air to me because you got Giolito, Bayo, and Crochet again. So I just... My gut is telling me, and it's funny because it's Heel. And he's probably the least likely to win in probability based on the whole body of work. But Heel versus Giolito feels like a win for me.
But also, have to remember the context of how they're going to be showing up. That's a wounded dog showing up to Fenway.
Yeah.
It is. And we talked about the days off. All that stuff matters. All that context is there. The thing is, Roman Anthony is not a part of the team when we show back up to Fenway Park. That's a huge difference.
They just lost, by the way, tonight.
Yeah. And yeah, I said that when the show first started. They've lost 3 games in a row. They've won 5 games their last 10.
Now, so, of course, you don't want to be the team that they beat you. They literally steal your soul and then they use it and power themselves to go and win the division.
I mean, that's certainly possible, but I don't think Boston, given their momentum and how they're playing away from us, right? Because keep in mind, Boston's not in first place right now as we speak for a reason. They play us really well. They don't play everyone else very well. They don't. Boston is a good team. I like their roster, but without Roman Anthony, it's not the same thump. It's just not. So Boston's going the opposite direction. They are now 4.5 games back of Toronto. I don't think Boston's going to win this division. I genuinely think Game 3 is going to decide who's going to win the AL East now between Toronto and New York. That's now where I'm at with it. And momentum is a huge deal. When you lose your best player, he's the guy who gives you all the momentum. Jake, you talked about it. You know, you're talking about, oh, yeah, they brought Cabrera, right? They brought in Peraza. They bring in guys who give you that energy. Well, what happens if Cabrera that same week went down with a major injury and we lost him for the rest of the year? That momentum's gone. And that's what Boston's dealing with right now. Is it just a fork in them? No, not literally. They can still get up. They're still a good team. They have good players. But it's not the same fight. And they're having to pick themselves up off the mat. They've lost three games in a row. The Yankees, if they win tomorrow, you'll look up at the standings and you'll say, oh, Toronto's lost two in a row. Boston's lost three in a row. Detroit, yeah, they won a game. They've won four games their last 10. Which of these teams? Houston, we just handled. Seattle, Jake, you just said they can't win a game. They can't win. They've won three games their last 10. So that's why, guys, when they say, oh, no, we've got time, part of the reason they say that is a lot of these teams that are winning, they won't all be winning at the end. Just not the way the postseason works. And dude, the Yankees right now showed up to this Toronto series. If they win tomorrow, and it's a huge if, then you can say we're the hot team in September, and you got to finish at that point.
The wild card is going to get absolutely bonkers for that third.
Oh, the third spot is nuts. Because, I mean, would you say Texas as well?
Let me read this for you. Yankees are up by 5, right?
Yep.
Boston, 3.5. The Mariners. And then you have Kansas City is 1 game back. They've won 3 straight. Texas has won 7 of the last 10. They're 1.5 games back. The Cleveland Guardians are plowing their way back up. They're 2.5. The Rays are 3 games back. Now you have Baltimore, the Angels, and the A's that are inside of 8.5. So it's unlikely because we're running out of time. But the point being is there's going to be a lot of meaningful baseball being played in the AL. And Seattle, I'm just going to say it right now. The Yankees and Red Sox are making the playoffs. I think the Yankees are winning the AL East.
I feel like Tampa worried me the most, by the way. I feel like if Tampa just crept into the third spot.
I was kind of rooting for them. You don't think I should want to?
Nah. Nope. Because Tampa is just, they're a grinded out organization. They just are.
It's true.
And they played us tough. I know we got the best of them in extra innings, and like that went our way. But think how stressful those games were. They were stressful for a reason. Maybe. And I know we're playing at George Steinbrenner, but the Rays are just not who I want to see. I'm not scared of it. But would I rather see a Seattle? Yeah.
Personally. They have the tiebreaker against Seattle.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. I think I'd rather. I mean, you know, that's not going to come in play. I'm telling you right now, I think Seattle's going to lose it, and I think I'm going to go with... that's tough.
Someone's getting fired in Seattle.
Texas Rangers are going to take the last spot.
Okay, love that call. If Seattle, if they miss the wild card, their manager's cooked. You buy at the deadline, and it's not like he's out there swinging the bat and playing, but when you buy and you're supposed to be taking steps forward and you go backwards out of the wild card, that is tough to do. We literally covered that. Jake, you were the first person to say it. You're like, we're not missing the wild card. Are you guys kidding me?
No.
I don't care what if you guys are rooting for this to just hit a wall to the point where we literally fall to 500 baseball. The Yankees were never in jeopardy of winning 81 games. That was never in the question. So, if the Mariners don't make the playoffs, people are losing their jobs. They just are. I do see people in the comments. Joey's rooting for Kansas City.
Dude, but Jake, have you seen the NL?
No. You're talking about the NL wild card? No.
Yeah. Cubs up by 5. Padres
up by
1.
The NL wild card is awesome.
You have the Mets.
Padres, Mets. That is so good.
No, I want the Mets out. Out.
Yeah, I mean, so do I. But it's a really interesting wild card.
This is what gets me excited. The Giants are on absolute tear, okay?
Yeah.
They're 4 out. The Diamondbacks, they've won 4 straight. They've actually won 8 of their last 10. They're 4.5 out.
Yep. Four in a
the
row.
The Reds are five out. The Cardinals are 5.5 out. This is going to be a dog fight to get that last spot. And this is exactly what
Cincinnati doing it. Like, no. I don't think Cincinnati's got the juice.
No, Cincinnati does not have the juice. They did earlier in the year, and then obviously they lost some momentum. I just don't feel like they have enough talent to regain that. Like, they're one of those teams, and you know those teams, where it's like you kind of have to stay in the wild card for most of the year to have a shot. Like, the Yankees could have fallen out, and they have enough firepower to get back up there. A lot of these teams are not as talented as some of these others. So, like, the Mets, for instance, if they fall out of it, they do have enough talent to get back into it and fight off a team. But that's also the same thing with the San Francisco Giants. And I think, for me, baseball would be better off to have one of those teams. The Mets, they're not doing anything. It has nothing to do with, like, you know, I know we have some Mets viewers. I get that. It has nothing to do with Juan Soto. So let me make that very clear. The Mets have a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. They have no closer. Okay? Their closer, Helsley, is absolutely dreadful. He's atrocious. Take what you think about Devin Williams. Multiply that by 10. That's Ryan Helsley.
How many games did they win last year, by the way? The Mets. Wasn't it like 86? 87 wins?
I believe so.
Right. So if they won
89, actually.
So they won 89 games.
Yes.
They have won 76 games so far this year.
Yes.
And there are about 20 games left in the season. They're going to win, I don't know,
86?
86 games. They literally are exactly what they were.
See, that's not exciting.
No. But, well, it's not. But obviously, the Mets have more fans. That just sheer numbers, they just have, this is what baseball, Cubs, Padres, Mets, they've got a ton of fans, but the Giants also have the firepower, they have the talent. Adames was expected to be much better, right? You've got Chapman, you've got some stuff there, the rotation clearly is there. That's why you can go on these win streaks. You need starting pitching, you don't just slug your way, especially playing in San Francisco. You don't slug your way to winning streaks. It's just not how it's done over there. But San Francisco is going to be the team that the Cubs and the Padres should be worried about. That should be the team you're like, well, I hope to God they kind of fall off, because you know the type of talent the Mets have at the top end, but they're not as well-rounded. And obviously the starting pitching is not where it needs to be. So, yeah, exciting stuff. Either way, I'm going to watch all of it.
I think the Mets fend off everybody. I do.
Yeah, I would agree.
If anybody does get to the Mets, it's going to be the Giants. They're way too talented. I don't think the Diamondbacks are a cool little story here. You know, but I think the Giants or the Mets. It's going to be a team with an orange logo as the third wild card team in the NL. That's what I know.
Yeah, I've always loved the Halloween colors.
Yeah,
for the Giants, that's pretty cool. So we got to all the voicemails. Guys, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. If you guys aren't subscribed to Yankees Unloaded yet, please make sure you do so. Hit the bell icon. If you're with us with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I'm not really sure what you do with Spotify, if you can drop reviews, but if you can, make sure to do that. Leave us a little note. We'd really appreciate it. And Jake, what do you want them to put in the comment section? How about a prediction?
Oh,
What's happening for Game 3?
No, I was actually going to say drop your bold prediction for NFL Sunday.
Bold prediction for NFL Sunday. I mean, if you guys want to drop your bold prediction for NFL Sunday, or you want to tell us what's happening in Game 3, either's fine.
Either
works.
Drop
that in the comment section, and make sure before you go to like this video.
Like it.